Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for inviting when the invitation came. Naturally, I jumped straight to accepting. I think it's important to come out as interim and speak with you all this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Emeryville District Parent Council, and I did receive a request to come and have just as honest, frank, and conversation with you as I did with them. And that I will commit to you this morning. It's very easy to come forward and have a prepared speech and, you know, have all the fluff and all that around it, but we are in very tough and hard times right now. And I think the purpose of today is that we simply need to have a very frank and candid conversations about the things that are surrounding the school district. Let me first say, it's a little bit different invitation. I've been here many times before, but I never thought the day would come that I'd come in this role, so I haven't been nervous about it. Just didn't see it coming. And when you define the Douglas is Chandler Parent Council this morning, I've heard the advocates that describe you. I want you to know I'm with you. I'm dedicated, I'm caring, and I'm certainly praying. And with that being said, I do want to sidebar for a second and let you know why we are recording. The only reason we are recording is because I'm asking for some help in critiquing my speaking presentations, because on Thursday I'm going to speak to all 8,000 teachers, and I'm going to do it through the internet. And so there's no really where to bring teachers in all in one location without spending a lot of money. And the power of technology will allow you to deliver a webcast to teachers and keep them in their location so that you don't incur the expense of traveling. So I got some people working with me, and we want to be able to take it and for them to stick with me and really tell me things I need to clean up before I start talking to the teachers. So that's the purpose of the recording today. I want to recognize the board members as well, Dr. Speaks, Mr. Redovian, and I know Mr. Machez and Mr. Womack are here as well. And I want to thank them along with the rest of the board members that have the confidence and trust in me to take this interim assignment. And I have agreed to do it on an interim basis until they can make next decision. So I want to do what I can to assist the children, the students, the employees, and as well the community. The principals, I thank you for being here this morning. You've been very supportive of me over the last 8 weeks. I think you truly understand that my life changed overnight, and I've asked them to just go do what they do best, run their schools, and they will be supported, they will be empowered, because they are important to the whole process, and I thank you for what you do. Now, I do want to recognize, and you all know that this week is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I know we don't have any teachers in here because they're out taking care of the most precious commodity that we have, which are students, but I do want to recognize that this week is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I will say that to the teachers on Thursday, and it's really hard for them to really, and I think this is across the nation, this is probably the hardest year that they can really accept the Teacher Appreciation Week. So from the East Coast to the West Coast, you and I both know, this year the hardest things have come in regards to cuts to education. And it may be very hard for them to understand that appreciation of furlough days and cuts to programs and services. In some cases, cuts to pay. In other districts, there are teacher layoffs. I was watching the World News just Friday night, and 22,000 teachers will be a layoff in the state of California, 15,000 in Chicago, and the whole nation is feeling that. And so I ask you to join me, join others, and let's just, whatever we can do to stop and take a moment and say, regardless, you need to know that you certainly are appreciated for everything you do every day, and they can just hold on. I do believe better times will come in due time. Will it come tomorrow? Absolutely not. We've got a rough road ahead of us, particularly in the camp. But we must push through. We must push through and be resilient and persevere for them and for our students. Now, we're near the end of the school year. I think we're down to less than 2.5 weeks now. We got a lot of excited seniors, real excited about graduating. And so we've got to end the school year strong, and we certainly have to get ready for next school year, because before you know it, that brief summer break will be over. and it will be time to open the doors and welcome our kids back. I want to talk to you a little bit about a few pressing issues, a few what I think are hot topics in the camp, and just share with you my perspective of those things and what the district is positioning itself for in regards to those things. My focus as the interim superintendent is to focus on the day-to-day operations of the school district. In light of everything that is going on around us, we must stay focused on the core business, and that is our students. Even in the short 2.5 weeks we have left, we literally have to shield and protect them to ensure that they have a strong finish to the school year. And that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on working with staff to stay focused on the day-to-day operations. It is so easy when you pick up a newspaper or when you look at a news story on the TV at night, it is so easy to get off the path. But one of the things that we are stressing, we are working very hard with every group that we get to, and that's why I need to speak to teachers on Thursday. Probably should have done it before now. Probably should have. If I had hindsight, I probably should have done it before we started. But the focus must be that we have to stay focused on the day-to-day operations, and we have to stay focused on the courses, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. There is no need of me sugarcoating for that to you and pretending that it's not. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But I want you to know, outside of the day-to-day operations and the core business, which are students, the third component of the interim is to work hard to restore the trust and morale with the teachers, with the other employees, with the students, and with the community. There's a breach. And we got work to do. We recognize that we got work to do. And even in the interim, though, we can't put it on hold and wait for the long-term solution. We have to start yesterday to rebuild that with all of our stakeholders so that we can protect the best interests of the district. I want to go another direction for a minute. I want to talk to you about the hard decisions that are upon us right now. It looks like this budget has been the longest journey in history of this school year. I've worked on budgets in the past, but this year just seems to be a really long journey. And hopefully, board members, Monday, May 10th, we will adopt it and we'll put it to bed for 2011. But I do want you to know, July 1, we're going to start working on the budget for 2012. The days are over where you can wait to the following January to start working on a budget. We immediately have to go to work positioning ourselves so that we are viable and we have a balanced forecast for the next school year. So we will close the door hopefully Monday on 2011, but I want you to know we got to go to work immediately and start looking at where are the next level of cuts. And I got to tell you, there are some lessons learned from this budget cycle. And the lessons learned is protect the sources, the resources closest to students, protect those. And we'll take those lessons learned into the next planning cycle. And we'll take a strong look at ourselves first and make cuts there first. We've done really, what I think is a really precedent-setting job in looking at central office, and it will continue as we go into the next budget cycle. We also have some other items that are going to be hard decisions for us over the next couple of months. And I'm going to just kind of park that for just a minute and come back to it so we will talk about it. In regards to the budget, you know we have an $88 million shortfall. We're planning somewhere between $110 and $115 million. In the event, if what has happened the last two summers, we've gotten more cuts after the public school districts across the state have presented a balanced budget and had it adopted by the board, each two summers, each school district has had to go back and look at more cuts. Well, we want a seamless operation this year, so we have prepared a cushion that if those cuts should come, we will not have to upset staff, we will not have to upset teachers, and go back and look at cuts. So that's why we're trying to exceed the $88 million to fall somewhere between $110 and $115. You know, I'm sure with this group, you have a very firm handle on what the cuts are. I'm sure you downloaded that spreadsheet. I know you sent me an email too about that spreadsheet, and I've read every single one. My email doesn't get handled by anybody else. I handle my own email. And I read every single email that comes into my inbox, and then we take serious consideration to the suggestions that come in. So with those cuts, I do want to pause and talk about the central office for just a second, because it's when you read, you know, different news articles, or you read the blogs, or you read the newspaper articles, and listen to the TV, you tend to see some misinformation of facts. And maybe we haven't done as good of a job we should do in being transparent about the central office, but we did take a big step forward and publish every piece of information we could for the district about central office. And I just want to put some facts out there for you. The entire employee base of the school district is 15,859 employees. 15,859. 13,873 of those employees are full-time. The remaining 1,986 are part-time. Of that 15,859, 14,620 are school-based employees. So that results in about 7.8% of those employees at the central office. 1,239 reside at the central office. Of that 1,239, 982 salaries and benefits are paid from the local budget. The remaining 257 come from federal funds and grant funds. And you've heard Title I and you've been in some of the grants that we've been awarded. The point is that we recognize that we need to make cuts. And we are going to do so if the board adopts the budget next Monday. Of the 982 we have now, 150 will be laid off June 30th. 150 are in that budget to be laid off, and that's $11.5 million in cuts. We will continue then to continue to look at the layers, look at where the extras are, and we will be coming back with a second layer of cuts for the 2012 planning budget. So we believe between that cut and the one the board is going to adopt is going to put us in line with the metro area. Right now, and I think the numbers are out on the web, we're at 89.1%. This cut this year of 150 will put us down at around about 88%. And that will put us in line with the other school districts. That cause is still beyond us. I know they're doing a long layoff of teachers, but right now, their ratio is falling somewhere between 88 and 90. I believe Gwinnett and Atlanta somewhere between 85 and 87. And we recognize where the bar is and where we need to go. And we're committed to do that. Now, I want to talk about school consolidation for a second. Here's fact. And I know that a lot of folks have a lot of opinions across the county. And we respect that, and we understand those opinions. But it's real important for me to give you the facts, and then once you form your opinion, good perspective, and it's heard. But I do want you to have the facts. And the facts are, we have 11,000 empty seats across the Cab County School District. 11,000 empty seats. The state funding formula does not support those empty seats. They allot entitlement dollars for construction projects based on your empty seats. And the county is not getting the dollars that it needs to get because we have not addressed the empty seats. And we need to address those empty seats. Now, you know the board took a vote last Monday night to implement a system-wide comprehensive approach in dealing with these empty seats. It is the right thing to do. Because what we found as we've gone down and we talked to DOE, we haven't been strategic as a district in addressing those empty seats. There's two ways to get dollars from the state, QBE earnings and state entitlement dollars. And believe it or not, there's a method in both of them working in cohesion to get to those dollars. And so we're mending relationships that we have down at COE. They have not been good in the past because of whatever reason. But we took a team from various departments down there on Monday. We spent all morning meeting with their team and really talking about what went wrong in past years and what needs to happen going forward. And we shook hands and we agreed. We do better working together than we do apart. And so they're going to come to the table and work with us on the local schools facilities plan, which is required down at the State Department for them to evaluate our funding. We're taking a whole new approach. Ms. Barbara Coleman, who's here this morning, is working with us in that regard on the SPLOC side. Mr. Dunnefield will be working from a facility standpoint. Jan Drake will be working from a planning perspective. Tom Moser will be working from a school operations perspective. And all those parts and pieces have to come together for a system-wide approach. And we do believe we will bring many, many, many more dollars that we've been missing the opportunity because we don't present a growth model down at the State Department. And we want to do that. So next year, that means that we will be closing schools. And we're looking somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12. It will be a good thing for the district because the resources are much more available when you have larger schools. And when you have small schools, the state doesn't give you any money. It just don't. And it falls on the local budget when the state doesn't give you dollars. And we don't have the funds like we've had in the past to sustain those schools. 7 period day versus 6 period day. Who has an interest in that? My hand. Don't worry. I think change is coming. There's not a whole lot to say about that other than change is coming. And I'm going to leave you with that because I think we got it. Test season. I want you to know some of the hard decisions that will be coming forward. I talked about the budget, talked a little bit about school consolidations. You know the DeKalb County School District along with Atlanta Public Schools, and I believe there's a few more districts, were cited by the governor's office as a part of the CRCT Horatio audit. We were given a mandate from the state to conduct an audit of all the schools that were listed by the Office of Accountability, and we were given some things to go through in order to respond to that audit. That audit is due next Friday, May 14th, to the governor's office. We will meet the deadline, but I imagine shortly after that, the governor's office is going to release some information for all the school districts on that. And I'm sure the media is going to be right there at our doorstep, and they're going to be at the doorstep of the governor's office. And the board will, of course, be very up to the awareness of the notification of what that means for the school district and the school found and the actions that we need to take. But I do want you to know that those audit findings will be released very shortly. And there's work to do in some schools in regards to some of the things that were found. We have to address some deficiencies. I won't go any further than that because it's real important to talk to your board first. And then once we have that conversation, I'm sure that information will be forthcoming and very transparent to the community as it stands for the DeKalb County School District. Now, let's talk a little bit about the uphill climb we got, because we have one. We have an uphill climb upon us for the next 3 to 6 to 9 months, and some with their adventure, perhaps 12 to 18. I'm very clear, and I think you need to be very clear, that the distractions and controversy are real and imminent. There's no need to deny it. To deny it is fiction, and we cannot do that. I've kind of encapsulated into the 5 things I think that are going to be very public for the school district over the coming months. One, of course, is the budget, and hopefully we will put that to bed next Monday. But then we'll immediately start on the budget for the next school year. And so it's going to go all over again about the money. Part one. But we also have the DA's investigation that more than likely will come to some kind of conclusion this month. Have no idea how all that's going to fall out. We know very little like you know very little. But what we do know is that we need to break ourselves for something that would be very public and maybe even very negative for the school district, but we can get through it. And there are things that we need to put in place to get through it. The CRC curation audit that I talked about, again, will be very public. As that comes to a closing, we need to be prepared for that. School consolidations, you know the board's charge, the superintendent, will have enough report by September. And so, therefore, that we start announcing what those schools are, it's going to be very personal, it's going to be very public, and very emotional. One thing I've learned, it is very emotional when you close schools on all fronts. We need to be ready for that. We have a Huron Mitchell case that's slated to go to trial this summer, we think. And again, another very public issue for the school district. And then, of course, the superintendent search. It's not my business, but I'm sure the media is still going to be at the doorstep. So those are what I think the big five are. Now, to deal with that, I want to talk about the article that was in the newspaper last night. I'm going to keep a record. Okay. If you haven't request for proposal, a firm to help us with crisis management. Well, I want to be real with you. We can't afford a brand firm. And I'll use this as an example. We know we can't go out and hire a firm that Toyota hired to deal with all the issues that they have. We know that. You know that, right? But we also know we need help. And I believe the first thing you need to do to protect the district is to acknowledge where you need help. And I got to tell you, we need help. We need help to control the message from the school district. And whether you believe it or not, I got to tell you what I believe. I believe over the last whole school year, everybody else is controlling the message of the school district because of us. And we're not doing it because we don't know how best to do it. I don't know in the history of my 22 years, the things that we're dealing with in this perfect storm, I don't know we've ever dealt with these issues like this before. So this is new precedent-setting territory for the school district. And asking for help is not a new thing for a public school district. You call any major urban school district and you will find for crisis issues, they bring in help. And we should be no different. Because we want to make sure that we are responding to the public, to the community, to the parents, of those things that we can control. Now, some things we're not going to be able to control, but we should be able to control the message of business. Now, how we do it is what's important. You don't go out and you spend the money. There are private corporations there to brand it and do all of that. But you work within the confines of an acceptable amount to get help. And you certainly advertise, we're a government institution, so we need a real big discount. We need help. We need help. And we've heard from you that we're not responding so that you can know what's going on. But we can't have it both ways. We can't continue to be quiet because we don't know what to do. And listen to you, and they're not going to get help. So we got to go get help. And I need you to understand, you need to hear from us when these issues hit. And we need some help to do that. But what we commit to you to do is to do it as cheap as possible. With the best help we can afford with the few dollars we have. But we got to go get help. Now, I'll close on this. One of the things we're working real hard on is very quickly to be very transparent and open with our communications to you. That's why we're getting help. You need to hear from us when all this stuff hits. Staff and I will work hard to keep the distractions and the controversy away from the day-to-day operations of the school district. Yes, it's going to be in the paper. Yes, it's going to be on TV. But I do believe you can park it there, put us here, and let that be what it be, to let us shield the district from its day-to-day operations. That's going to be my focus. Even in the summer, as we're getting ready to open that up, to keep the staff focused on the day-to-day operations in the core business. Now, this thing about media, I got to talk a minute about that. I'm quick and candid to let you know where my strengths are. But I also tell you where my weaknesses are. And I just don't do the mean thing that well. I don't. I acknowledge it, and I acknowledge I need some help. And I'm going to get some help. But in the meantime, until I get the help and I can really go out and represent this district in an articulate manner, I'm going to stay in the background. Okay? And I want to applaud the board for doing the heavy lifting because they've done it. If you notice, they're always in the paper, they're always on the interviews, and they're doing that for me because they know it's not my comfort level. They know it. And I thank them for it. I thank them for doing the interview. And then me go run the district, and they're handling it. But there will be times that your interim superintendent simply has to speak up and say something. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, too. And I'll give you a good example real quick. Donna Wiley from Channel 11 made a call and said, listen, we're interviewing all the superintendents in the metro area about state budget cuts. And of course, when they came to me, I said, Hall's going to do it, I'm just rattling off all the metro area superintendents, and you're the only one. Well, I think that will not please you. Because we still are a major force in the city when it comes to metro area districts. So I had to find the courage, and I had to get some people to help me so they could come out and interview me, and I think I did all right. What is it, May
11th?
May 11th. But there are times that the school district needs to be represented, and if so, I want to be ready. So I admit my area weakness, and I want you to know I'm going to work so that when the time does come, I can run the county district well. We've got to push through folks, and it's going to take all of us. Do not fake it. That I can do it by myself. Do not think the board can do it. And it's going to be alone. The staff is going to take all of us together to push this district through because it is a good district. It is a very good district. It's got its flaws and it's got its share of problems right now. But with the right changes, it will prevail. But it means that we all got to look at what we might be doing to contribute to it. And we got to be willing to say, hey, we're going to pull up and stop, and we're going to work for the good of the district. Now, that's another whole speech, and I'm going to hold that because I'm a little more brave to come in and talk about it. But I just want to leave that with you to think about for a little bit. I want to cut my time here because I think it's more important to get your questions answered. And I'm going to ask the senior staff to work with me on answering those questions today. But I thank you for your time. I thank you for hearing my philosophy and vision of where we are today and where we need to go for the crisis we're in right now. I did not come up and talk about how we're going to improve CRCT scores and graduation rate. And we got time for that. We got time for that. But right now, I think you wanted to hear about what we're facing right now, and I wanted to have this kind of conversation. But depending on my skin, if I'm back, I'll come back and talk about those things. Or you'll be talking to somebody else. But I thank you for your time today, and I look forward to addressing your questions.
It's like Denny still has his own firmware.
I know.